Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Woodward Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your handicapped professional handicapped host, James Cox. And I got an awesome interview with us today. I just saw his email in Michael's email blast, and I had to get you on, man. This is gonna be so awesome.
Thank you.
His name is Sorontos. Yes. So Mr. Sorontos is a Chicago-based nerd. We love that here. and retired superhero who always has a story to tell. He is a do-it-yourself international award-winning solo music artist. Top 7 iTunes UK charting in the rock genre, top 5 iTunes UK song singer songwriter, top 8 iTunes UK country, number 1 iTunes South Africa folk and country, and he got a lot of stuff. Yeah, this was awesome.
Yeah, a few.
Yeah, he has also been on the Spotify charts many times, including hitting number 1 in Iceland in all genres. How you doing?
Great. How you doing, James? Thank you so much for having me tonight. Yeah.
So you're based in Chicago right now, right?
Correct. Yeah. Born and raised.
Nice. So, how is the music scene over there? Is it like really good or bleh? It's okay.
So to be honest with you, Chicago gets dissed on by a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're not LA. We're not New York.
Yeah.
We're not Nashville, but I think there's a lot of cool music happening here and a lot of fusion. And obviously people know Chance the Rapper, Kanye kind of came from Chicago, yeah. But I'm trying to put my stamp on it. And
there you go.
My goal is to make Chicago known all over the world for music.
Well, I think you're doing a great job because from the paragraph I read, everybody knows you right now. Everybody, you know.
I don't know about that. I wish everyone knew me, but I'm not Taylor Swift. I'm not gonna lie, you know. So no, not everybody knows me, but that's where I'm at, and I'm hoping.
Nice. Well, who is Taylor Swift, right? Not me. We're definitely not Taylor Swift podcast here, so that's good. You are a nerd, and I love that term because I am avid comic book reader. Well, I used to collect a lot of comic books back in the day. Because I'm 44, I started when I was 16. I don't collect as much comics as I do now. Who is your favorite comic book character, and why, essentially? I mean, because I know that's a broad question, and so hard.
Yeah, I love Marvel, DC. I love them. I love all of them. I would read even like cartoon things like The Simpsons. I did everything. And then if I had to pick one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, growing up, it was Superman, you know, so of course then it was Batman because he's an actual human and, you know, it's more relatable. But there's so many cool characters in the Marvel universe. Yeah. And honestly, if Marvel or DC called, I would be happy to play a superhero, whether it's a new one that's based on my life or whether it's, you know, one of the classics. I love all superheroes, man. I'm a nut.
Well, I read in your bio also, I'm going to bring up your bio a lot here, but I read in your bio that your music got on some movies and TV shows. Is that true? I mean, like.
Yeah. So I don't have a publisher and I don't have a record label. So it's not promoted like some of those other venues that have connections, and it hasn't been featured where people, you know, mostly it's instrumental music.
Yeah.
But again, my goal is to one day get one of my lyric songs where I'm singing be like one of the main songs to the movie that a lot of people know. There's a lot of indie music. There's a lot of, you know, nowadays you have Hulu, you have Netflix, you have all these indie films.
Yeah.
So everybody, the dream is to get on a big film that everybody knows. And then you know, it's not your words are cut out. It's, wow, that's, you know, that song.
That's all right, though. Well, I love you for saying Superman because he is my favorite hero of all time. I don't care what anybody says. But there's a lot of talk between Batman versus Superman. And they're like, who's going to win? I'm like, bro, come on now. You got an alien and you got a human being. There's no contest. No contest.
Yep.
Even with Batman's, even if Batman can hold Kryptonite, I don't think he would win. But it's very weird how these comic book fans can overthink something, you know.
Yeah, fans are infectious. They're great, whether they're music fans, comic book fans, movie fans, but they definitely like to argue sometimes a little bit and clash with fans of different artists or different genres of movies. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all fun. You know, I don't think you should go over the line and hurt someone or say something really mean, but it's playful.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I brought it up is because it's true with music, you know, the same thing as comic book fans. Music fans can be very outspoken about their favorite band, you know. Oh, you like this and stuff. You suck because you like this. You know, who cares? You know,
yeah.
It's all good stuff, you know. So.
Yeah, I think my goal is, I love when fans email me or message me on social media. I have an email list that's been slowly growing over the years, and my goal is only to continue to put stuff out there, and it really touches me when someone says something that I inspire them or that they love one of my songs or it's relatable. And that's really all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to get into war with the Swifties or the BTS army or, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm the best thing out there. All I can do is try to get better every day.
Right.
I write books, you know, they fiction, fantasy books. I put out, you know, poems, I put out music, I write lyrics, I put out instrumentals. I'm just trying to get better and I'm having fun at it. So that's really, I think if you read my bio or if you read my social media or interact with me, I'm playful, I'm sarcastic, I don't take myself too seriously. In Greek, I'm Greek.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Born in Chicago, though, but there's a word called piraktiri. So what that means is, loosely translated in American, it's like a botherer. So I'm very, like, playful. You know, I don't really look to destroy someone. I have no enemies. You know, I kind of take everything in stride.
And there you go. Yeah. Okay, so you're Greek, so what's the best Greek food you could recommend to me? If I ever had
a foodie.
I'm
a foodie, yeah. And I grew up in the restaurant business. So I grew up cooking, cleaning. I was a waiter. I was a dishwasher. I was everything. And I always loved to create my own dishes. So if I had to pick one Greek food, you can't go wrong, especially in Greece, with a shish kebab, just like a pork shish kebab with French fries, a little rice, you know, something like that. When I visit Greece, I could literally eat that every day with a little tomato salad and a little watermelon for dessert. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Awesome. So you are a multi-instrumentalist, and that term is very vague. So I want to ask you, how many instruments can you play as of right now? Oop. Hey.
Hey, what happened? Lost you there.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, well, I'm going to repeat the question again. So you are a multi-instrumentalist, and that term is very vague. Can you tell me how many instruments you actually play or can play?
Sure. So when I started many years ago in like third, fourth grade, my focus was lyrics and words, and that's really all I did. And some of them were probably poems more than songs. And about 11 years ago, when I started this journey, my father passed away a couple of years before that after fighting lung cancer for many years. And I just didn't want to be on my deathbed and said, I never gave this a shot, because growing up, no one took musicians seriously. If you said, I want to be in a band or I want to make music, they said, okay, yeah, whatever. But what's your real job? So I grew up in that kind of environment, and it always kind of bothered me. So when I started, I didn't technically know how to play any instrument. It was all about lyrics, and I wanted to sing. But truthfully, that was my instrument, but I kind of sucked at it because I didn't know what I was doing. And I would put together these songs. I would use loops. I would hire people and say, hey, here's my idea. Here's a loop idea. Can you make this into a guitar for the song? And after about 2 years, I was at a taxi music conference and I met a songwriting coach and I started taking songwriting lessons. And I've been doing that about 8 years now. And I didn't know anything. I didn't even know what a chord was. So he slowly got me to learn that. Then I basically learned how to play the piano. And I'll never forget when I first started, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Because obviously I wasn't like five when I was learning. And I would like not even know like what each key is called. And I put little post-its and I bought something on Amazon that had what the key is. That's a C, that's a D. But eventually I took those away. I learned how to play the piano. And that's my main instrument. And as I've transitioned to learning all the other things from, you know, rhythm, groove, vocal melody, all these other things, my proficiency has been Logic. So if you have a DAW, like a digital platform, and if you know theory and music and chords and you can play an instrument like the piano, you could pretend you play every instrument. So I've dabbled with real guitars. I've dabbled with real drums. I've dabbled with all sorts of instruments. I have a bouzouki from Greece. I have a flute. I have a harmonica. So I probably try to play about 10 different instruments. But the truth is, I think piano is really the main one. Mm. And I'm finishing production. And once I do that, Jai Josephs, who's the songwriter coach, is going to teach me the guitar for real. So that's kind of my objective. And then after that, I want to do the drums for real. So I want to keep learning.
There you go. There you go. Well, from what I hear, musicians always tell me that the guitar is one of the most easiest instruments to play. All you got to do is just three notes, or three chords that to start out with. And basically, you can just teach yourself from there on, you know.
So. Yeah, people say that. Like, you know, if you listen to some of the old, some songs like Tom Petty or just some of the modern pop things, it's the same three chords.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I've just like when I was singing before, when I was playing the piano, you take GarageBand, but it never stuck until you really challenge yourself to learn. At one point, I knew the different chords on a guitar, but if you don't play it consistently, you just forget it. And it really takes a little effort and time to practice it, to get it stuck in your brain. Like, even if I don't play the piano for a month, I know it now. Yeah. You know, I don't have to, when I go back, I may not be as fast,
right,
but I don't have to go back and wonder, like, what's a C chord? What's a C minor? What's an F sharp? You know, I kind of just, once you built it into you, you practice and it, but it's hard to learn at an older age too. So
it is.
I highly encourage people to start when they're young. It's much easier.
I've heard the same thing about foreign languages, because if you start learning at a young, like 5 or 6 years old, it's much easier to learn anything at a younger age. But you still can learn it if you're older, like me. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it just matters about how you're disciplining yourself, you know?
My advice and my goal is if I ever am lucky enough to make it, to be up on the Grammy stage and win something. And as much as I fantasize about winning Album of the Year, Artist of the Year, have like, you know, 8 out of my 11 songs in a year be number one hits, whatever it is, part of my story is at one point, if I make it, I want people to hear the raw stuff that I put out initially and how bad it was, and then how I slowly evolved, because a lot of people have this misconception that you're born with it. I think you can be born with a lot of things.
Yeah.
You might have a certain level of intelligence. You might have a certain level of drive. We all have our personality flaws. Some we inherit from our parents, some our circumstances, but I think you can become anything you want. I really do. And it takes a lot of hard work. And yeah, it could take 10,000 hours to do it. It could take 10 years, but I think a lot of people quit. And when you challenge yourself, if you're just playing, if I'm singing, you know, certain melodies, or I'm playing through piano exercises, it's boring and repetitive. It doesn't challenge you. I think you have to challenge yourself to get that plasticity, to have your neurons and your brain, you know, and it takes time and effort, and it's frustrating as hell, to be honest with you.
It is. Yeah, I agree. Okay, so earlier you said you took songwriting lessons, correct?
Mm-hmm. Still do.
Okay, nice. Can you tell us the easiest way to get started, just in case somebody like me, right? I've always wanted to write my own songs. I wasn't sure how to, you know, writing a book, writing a song. I tried playing guitar. I might go back and do that again. I'm not sure. But for my listeners out there, if they want to start day one learning to write a song, what steps would they need to take to accomplish that goal? Not the easiest way, but the way that you were taught. Yeah.
The hard thing about the music business, there's a couple of different things that you should think about before you start on this journey. One is this your passion? Like, are you going to be doing this for 10 or 20 years and never stop?
Yeah.
And that's what it is for me. And I might've gotten to the starting line late in life, but again, I love doing it and I'm going to do it till the day I die. So I think the flip side is people nowadays, there's so many songs going out on Spotify every day, and people are bedroom producers and they kind of just make stuff at home. And again, you have to decide what you want to be. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I want to learn how to play the piano. I want to write a song, and I want to do it because I'm getting married in a year, and I want to make a song for my wife or my husband or whatever you decide to do. But if at some point, and you could start off like that, but at some point, if you want to take it seriously, nothing is going to replace the shortest distance between you and your end dream is you got to find the right teachers. And the hard thing about the music business is there's so much BS out there where everybody says, give me $100, I'll get your song on 100 Spotify playlists, but it's all garbage and it's all bots. So the hardest part to this is there are gatekeepers, which are the record labels. A song takes $1 to $2 million minimum to promote it. And if you're an indie artist with zero marketing budget, I stopped advertising. I don't remember exactly when, I think it was 2017. Because I said, I can get, you know, engagement, I can get some followers, but I felt like even if it was on a legitimate platform like Facebook, it just gave me fake people that wanted to look legitimate to Facebook. And you look at your users and you're like, wow, I have 200,000 followers in Turkey. I have no issue with Turkey, but when you look at Bangladesh and you look at some of these, they're bots, they're fake. They don't help you. So you have to decide what you want to do. And I decided I'm going to focus on getting better. When I feel like my music and my vocals and everything is where it's not embarrassing and it's really everything's getting ranked at least 70th percentile among musicians when I review it, which I'm pretty much at nowadays, then I'm going to start advertising again. So my goal is at some point, maybe this year or next year, to start advertising a little bit because it works. But to me, I think the education is, If you don't want to take it so seriously, look at GarageBand. They have free tutorials for piano and guitar. If you look at YouTube, there's a lot of free channels that will teach you how to play guitar. And are you a beginner? Are you an intermediate? So there's a lot of free resources, but you have to ask yourself why you're doing it. Because when it's Saturday night and all your friends are out partying and your significant other is like, hey, I'm going to go. You're the one that's sitting there at 2 in the morning at midnight working on a song. And people don't realize this, but I might work hundreds of hours on a song that they take 3 minutes to listen to, and they decide in the first 10, 15 seconds if they even like it. Sometimes they don't make it to the end and they're not going to hear what I did in the third chorus and that cool harmony I added or the counter melodies. So you could write a great song, but if someone isn't in the mood for a depressing song about killing yourself, they're not going to listen to it. You know, one of the most touching songs I've written was my song at the end of last year's album called I Thought, you know, that basically I thought God would help me. And it talks about me thinking about suicide, that, you know, I'm sick of this shit and I can't take it anymore. Like, you know, but that's not a song for everybody.
So, no, it's not.
You know, and it's not even if you're a fan of mine, you might not be in the mood for that song on a certain day.
Right.
You know, so there's so many variables to it.
Yeah. But just imagine how that song could help someone if they weren't actually listening to it fully. You know, I'm sure that song helped a lot of your fans, you know, for sure.
Yeah. And what I've tried to do, you know, I'm a writer, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's all about words. So if you're going to look at anything of mine, the first song, the new song every month comes out on the first Tuesday with a free lyric video. The second Tuesday of the month, the new music video comes out. The third Tuesday of the month, the new book chapter comes out. And the fourth Tuesday of the month, it's the new poem. So if you read my post on the first month and the second, you know, Tuesday of the month, you're going to find out the story of the song. Yeah. And the second one, it expands a little more and talks about the music video. But if you just read that paragraph or two, that's all you need to know. You don't need to follow me on social media if you don't want, and see what in the world is he doing? Why is he posting that video of the car driving next to him or something? So again, to me, I try to be authentic, because the truth is I'm not going to relate to everybody. People will either want to relate to me or they won't. And I'm just trying to get better and be authentic. And hopefully they come along for the ride. If they hop off the car, maybe in 3 months they'll come back, because I'm not going anywhere.
Nice, nice. Well, I'm currently looking at your Apple Music playlist, and I see a whole lot of albums right now. You have about probably 16, maybe. I don't, you know, if I could count.
Yeah, there's probably more. So this is my 11th year, and what I've done is every single year, the new song that comes out every month, in November, I package it into a CD. Okay. So this year, I'm working on the 11th CD, but what I've done, and I started this my first year out, is I release a surprise CD every year. Yeah. So the first year, the surprise CD was a Christmas CD with a bunch of originals, a bunch of public domain, you know, covers that I did. I read like 10 short stories, like Christmas short stories. The second year I did a movie instrumentals, then a TV instrumentals. I've done jazz instrumentals. I did a funeral CD. I did a healing meditation CD. So I've actually, this year, I'm going to be putting on my 21st and 22nd CD. So that's a lot of songs in 11 years.
You are busy. I can tell you that right now. You can't say that you can't slack off because I know you're working. But what I thought was interesting of you was just a while ago you said that music is your passion, and you'll do it till you die, right? And that's
absolutely
awesome. You said that, but
yeah.
Now artists are doing singles, and I read that you are doing a single every month until you pass away, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And so you just mentioned that before. You've got a song, a music video, a new book a new chapter in your book every week
every month,
a poem every month. So do you find that people get a little bored with full blown albums as opposed to singles every month? Because some people are like, I like that album, but I like two songs, you know. But if you give them one single, you're like, oh my God, this one is amazing. And I listened to it for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I started, you know, and it still is, you know, if you look at all the big artists, they put a CD out every 2 to 3 years. When they put a CD out, they're only going to make like two music videos. You know, Taylor's probably the exception to that.
But
if you look at what I tried to do, I said, I don't want to fall away for 2-3 years and have them forget about me. So I said, I'm going to put out a song every month. Yeah. And that means one CD every year. And the last couple of years, I've actually started throwing a surprise song. So it's actually not 11, it's 12 songs.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to make surprises for the fans. And I probably in the beginning, I would use other people to mix it and to help me with some of the different elements. And then about maybe after 2017, I actually kept trying to do everything myself. So in my eyes, if you look at 2018 to 2021, there's a time there where my stuff, you know, there were issues with it. But eventually, as I broke through and I got better and better and better, and I learned how to do almost everything, the music has definitely picked up. And I think the last key for me was doing vocal melody with Jai, learning about melody as opposed to just singing and not having a clue what that means. That's really helped me, because in the past people would be like, your voice sucks, your pitch, you know, you're off pitch. And I'd be like, what are they talking about? I'm looking at it. I used auto-tune. I don't understand. And it took me a while to be able to understand and to edit melodies. And now if people say, and they don't really say that anymore, but if they say, oh, you're off pitch, really it tells me one of two things. Either they don't understand what they're talking about, or my tone is off, or something that I did, a melody I did, is boring, or it's not attractive to them, or it's not ear candy, and they don't, you know, it's not a good melody.
Right.
So it's not that, you know, if I try 50 melody ideas for every section of my song, and I settle on, you know, whatever the melody idea is, it just means, hey, that melody sucks. It's not that good. So that's something I've come to understand that I had no idea about before. Before, I listened to my old stuff and I'm like, oh,
you know, I was like, right. Yeah.
I didn't quite get it. I thought I got it. But the other thing that I would recommend for anyone really interested in a career in music, I started this back in 2017 and it took forever, but ear training. You do not understand if your ears can't pick it up. Mine couldn't. When I would listen to music, you know, my whole life, I just heard it and I had no idea what was the guitar, what was the drum, what was the keys. And now I can pick things out, and ear training enables you to listen to something. And even if you don't have perfect pitch to say that's a C sharp or that's a D flat, it's relative pitch is really what's really important to know that, hey, I went from C to E to G. That's a third and a fifth. So there's a lot of things that you can learn, but you got to want to learn them.
Yeah. Mm. Great stuff. So, okay, so I'm not sure if I'm going to ask you this right, but please bear with me.
No problem, man. Ask whatever.
So, out of these songs with the lyrics as well as instrumental, do you write your songs with lyrics for the listener, or do you write them just to get out of your thoughts or your experiences? Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, good.
So,
okay. Great.
Years ago, all I did was write lyrics.
Right.
And I might have had an idea in my head of, I want this to sound like Billy Joel Piano Man, or I want this to sound like, but again, I didn't have the skill set to be able to tell you, other than this is hard rock, this is a pop song, you know, I couldn't really tell you. I've written over 4,000 songs. So that's a lot of songs. Yeah. So some songs are very emotional to me where, hey, this happened to me today at work and God, I'm so annoyed and I just can't take it and I want to quit or whatever. So some songs are 100% about me.
Yeah.
Other songs have nothing to do with me. They are me watching a movie or listening to a song and hearing a line. And the line could be as simple as, you know, I love you. Why did you leave me? And all of a sudden, like my mind wanders and then, you know, a song is birthed in my head and then I create it. So I have this weird challenge where I have so much content and it's funny because I have a notes in my iPhone. I used to have everything written and I put it digital many years ago. So I keep, anytime I hear something, I have a note and I just keep adding to it. But the funny thing is when I write a song, I literally almost never look at that note. So I have all these cool little lines in my notepad that I almost never use that I've heard somewhere or came to me when I was running or something. But I wish in my perfect world that other artists would want to collaborate with me, because every time I've reached out to them or every time someone's reached out to me, I'm just like, sure, what do you want to do? And they're like, oh, I just want to sing. And I'm like, all right, what are you in the mood for? And they're like, how about something jazzy that's this? And I'm like, all right. I'm like, I'll come up with something, send it to you. We'll split it 50-50. You know, let me know. You can come up with lyrics since that's your thing. Send them back to me. I'll, you know, we'll go back and forth. And then you decide what you want to sing. I'm so flexible. And then I never hear from them again. This has happened to me 6 times.
Why?
So I don't know if they get intimidated or they're like, holy crap, this guy just sent me the Logic file. And, you know, there's like 20 tracks and he sent me this finished song.
Right.
But I would love to collaborate. I would love to keep doing my thing.
Yeah.
I'd love to collaborate and I'd love to be in a band.
Right.
And I'd love to be in a band because I haven't done a live show since the Toronto Music Festival many years ago. But that's a whole other challenge, is trying to find bandmates that want to play with you and rehearse. And the Toronto Music Festival, 2 weeks before, the band I had hired and the musical director were like, hey, we don't have passports. We can't go to Toronto. I was like, I kept asking you for months. You told me you had it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So then I struggled to find a cover band last minute. And I said, I'm not going to do that until people are okay showing up, rehearsing, playing with me.
Right. Yeah.
I'd love, even if it's a gig a month or one a week, I'd love to do it. But
Man, it sucks that they did that. I'm sorry about that. But okay, so now you did mention the live aspect, so I want to go. I'm going to ask you about the live. When you did play live, I also read that you embrace imperfections with live. Live playing, you know, and I find that so awesome that you say that because many artists struggle to be perfectionists, but we're not. We're human beings, you know. And I love you for owning up to your imperfections if they happen, you know.
Yeah. I used to allow imperfections in my music that went out into the world too.
Yeah.
But I don't allow as much now because
again,
people latch onto that and they're like, they don't understand it's a passing note and it's purposely chromatic or what you're trying to do all the time. So little stuff you can get away with, but the bottom line is everyone is so used to listening to perfectly auto-tuned, like every, and it's, again, in a perfect world, I wish with all my heart, now I'm completely in a different place than I was, you know, 5 or 8, 9 years ago, because now I feel confident on stage.
Right.
And yeah. I can sing a hell of a lot better, and my range is way expanded compared to what it was. So I would love to get out there. And my, again, I don't know if this is coming through, but I'm a nerd. I'm an idiot. I'm playful. I make jokes up on stage. I'm very, it's almost like, you know, songwriter slash musician slash comedian slash Greek guy who thinks he knows everything. You know, it just, you're going to know exactly what's on my mind. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to, I don't offend people. I poke fun of myself probably more than anyone else.
Nice. So, you host a songwriter's show, which is which is a radio show, and it's ranked number one. And you have listeners from all over the country, including 206 countries. Can you explain what your what that show is all about? And if people want to come on, can they, or do you have to be like okay?
No, absolutely. If anybody wants to be on the songwriter show, they can reach out to me on any of my social media platforms. They can email me info@melogia.com, M-E-L-O-G-I-A.com. The website is M-E-L-O-G-I-A.com, which in Greek means with words. And I thought that was kind of cool since I'm all about the words. And truthfully, Sorantos.com was taken. So when I went trying to think of what's my website going to be, I tried a bunch of things, but everything was taken. So that's what I settled in on. And it's a great show. It's very authentic. I've had some pretty big songwriters and musicians on there. Nice. I've had a lot of indie artists where the show runs and a bunch of fans are emailing me like, this is terrible. They don't know how to do this. But again, it's an indie artist show.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for a while now, and it keeps growing and growing. And
nice.
It's very fun. And I think people really enjoy it. They enjoy listening to it if they're trying to learn. So if you're a musician and you want to learn, but also if you're a fan and you just want to know how is music made, how are songs made. And we talk about all sorts of different elements, but it's not all like nerd speak. It's very casual, and it's very dumbed down. So even if you know nothing about music, you'll enjoy it.
Right. How do you decide to, what to share with the audience? I'm going to back it up. Right. There are some songs that you write that you don't want to release to the public because it's so personal, right? And I'm sure you've written hundreds of songs like that. How do you know that it's right for you to share with us as opposed to the songs that you hold dear to your heart?
So I learned a long time ago, I don't ever hold anything out of the public eye because it's too personal. So I've learned... Everyone says, oh, it's a love song, it's a this and a breakup song. And there's some cliches that people write. So if something is really powerful and it means a lot to me, nowadays I just release it because I feel like it's more authentic and true.
Yeah.
And people otherwise see right through that. There's no question sometimes I write it. Again, when you're a professional songwriter, which I've learned, it's got to be relatable. So there's some songs I release. I release the song every songwriter needs to spend a night in Nashville, right? So that's kind of a fun song, but at the end of the day, that's more for people that, you know, are songwriters. So sometimes you release a song that is in a certain, you know, genre. It's an LGBTQ song, and it's not going to relate to other people.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I try to make it relatable to at least a certain subset of listeners, but I want every song to be relatable to everybody. And I'm hoping that eventually people kind of understand what I'm doing. They understand the songs, the mission. Every song I pick a charity and donate to a charity for every song every month. So hopefully eventually, again, I want to grow up to be Taylor, you know, where anything I put out, you know, the crowd is like, oh, that's great. And, you know, and again, everyone's going to give you bad press, or they're going to jump on something because people want to build you up, then they want to tear you down. But I'm just going to try to be humble and keep working hard and keep being nice to as many people as I can.
There you go. I mean, it doesn't cost money to be nice to anybody, you know. Cost money to be evil, because, you know, we'd be suing everybody, you know. But so I really, really like instrumental songs, and I like your instrumental songs too, because I feel like you wrote them for my experiences later in life, or what I'm feeling right now. How do you know what song is going to be just instrumental? And how do you know that it's going to be with lyrics, words?
That's a great question. So in general, when I say, hey, I'm going to put out a rainforest instrumental, you know, CD, I will kind of come up with some themes and topics. And, you know, one might be called Amazon Rainforest. The other might be called Lizard, or, you know, just whatever I decide. And then I try to put myself in the mood to come up with an instrumental. Most instrumentals that I write nowadays, if they're on a CD and they're meant for movies and TV cues and stuff like that, I kind of limit it to a couple minutes. So most of them are about anywhere from a minute 45 to 2 minutes, 10 seconds. So they're very different than a song. So most songs, again, most people want around a 3 minute song. So I'd say most of my songs are about 3 minutes to 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Some songs are 7 minutes. Once a year, I try to piss off everybody and say, hey, here's a song that's a 7 minute rock song.
Yeah.
Some are 4 or 5 minutes. So usually I kind of know if it's going to be instrumental or with lyrics. But the truth is, even the songs with lyrics, I always have an instrumental version. And on places like Reverb Nation, you know, I'll release that too. So people sometimes don't mind listening to an instrumental that's 3 or 4 minutes. But in general, I kind of know in my head of which direction am I going.
Okay, so I have about three more questions for you. I almost did songs.
Sure.
That's fine.
So
what is your favorite part about being a singer-songwriter, and what do you find the most challenging about that career path? Like, what do you like and what do you don't like about being a singer-songwriter?
I'll tell you what I love. Okay. I love, there's nothing like when a fan reaches out. And it could be as simple as, you made my day, I love your song, this song reminds me of, you know, my dead husband, this song. It really just, there's nothing that, it's like crack and cocaine, and I've never done drugs, but it's just like, it's just such a powerful, humbling feeling because we're all busy and we don't have a lot of time. And if somebody takes their precious time to listen to one of my songs, and then they take an extra 10 seconds or 5 minutes to write me an email or send me a message, it just means the world to me. So that's definitely the highest high. And maybe that's going to be replaced one day if I win a Grammy or have a number one hit, but I don't think so. I think, you know, hopefully I get even more emails from people at that time. The most frustrating thing by far is you're an indie artist. You have no label. So you could put out a great song, but if 5 or 10 people hear it, you know, did you just waste 6 months of your life and 300 hours on that? And I hate feeling like that, but I understand that there's a lot of noise in the world today. And what I'm hoping happens, that people hear about me, listen to something and be like, wait a minute, he's never used a label. He's never used a recording studio. Like, he does this in his family room that has terrible acoustics, except for 3 songs out of 250. Like, holy crap, this kid's talented. Or this guy is, you know, he's persevering because he's doing this for 11 years and he sucked and he's getting better. And he's, I want someone to believe in me. Not that I don't believe in myself, but I want someone to believe in me. Like, you know, Ed Sheeran's investor did in him, or like somebody to take me to that next level, because I know I can't do it alone. And I want someone to believe in me and to say, hey, you know what, let me fund you. Let me, you know, let's sign a record deal here and it'll be fair to you. It's not going to be, because again, it's such a fine line between getting taken advantage of and, you know, but at the end of the day, I think that I'm only going to keep getting better, and I would love to collaborate. I'd love to write songs. I have songs. If someone says, hey, do you have a song I can buy off you, or a song I can release to the world, then you'll get some points and royalties. I have so much content that I would love to produce other people. I would love to have a publisher that says, hey, You know, this new movie needs a theme song and it's about this. And can you come up with something? I'd love to do that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that about the record labels, because after doing this for 4 years, I found that most, like 95% of the musicians I talked to would rather be independent than have a big label, because yes, you don't get as many listens and views, but you do it out of love for this business, and you get to do what you want to do without being told what to do. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but I also, you're right, and I think the indie artist is like, screw the label, you know. But then you don't have those doors. You're not going to get that real exposure. So if you look at some artists, they understand, and they're like, yeah, I get paid a lot less, but guess what? I get to write with this famous person and that famous person.
Right.
So
yeah,
to me, it's not really, I'm not doing this for the money, and I don't really care. But what I hope happens is, once you have enough credibility and once you have something people want, and they come to you and they say, hey, I want to sign you to 360, instead of arguing with them, I want to be honest and say, look, I want to keep doing exactly what I'm doing. One song a month, every day till the day I die. Yeah, I don't want to have the pressure of you telling me I have to put out 40 songs a year, but I already put out more content than anybody. But what a label would do for someone like me is say, oh, what's a song you're thinking of putting out for February? What love song? And I'll be like, oh, this one. And they'll be like, it's okay. We beta tested it. And you know what? The chorus doesn't work. And, you know, getting that kind of feedback as opposed to doing it yourself. Or if you're like, well, these are the three songs I'm thinking about, having their experts, their producers, their say, oh my God, this song's a hit. These other two songs are okay, but this is it. And then being able to say, I want you to fly to Nashville, record this in a real studio, and instead of you screwing around on the piano and the guitar and doing something in Logic, we're going to have a professional orchestra. We're going to have a professional choir in the background. That's taking your thing from a B or B plus to an A plus.
Right.
Why would I not want that? I would totally want that. I'm mature enough to understand how the world works. And again, I think it could be a win-win. You know, I think if you think you're getting screwed or you think they have all the leverage, you're in the wrong relationship. Whether it's marriage, whether it's a label, it's got to be a win-win. Then everyone's happy.
Yeah, I agree, because everybody should be free to do what they want to. But I think there's so many bad opinions about the industry that many people think it's automatically evil, you know. And but no, at the same time, you know. Well, yeah, it is, but I think Rob Zombie has his own record label, but doesn't screw over his artists. And from what I know, he doesn't do it, you know. But then again, I'm not really sure if he still has that label or not, you know. But two more questions, and then I will let you go. I want to dive into your new song, Never Trust a Happy Song, which is a great title. I love it. So that song is about, for people who are wondering, and I want to run that by you. That's about how happy songs aren't very happy at all. You know, they'll tell you one thing, but the real world will tell you the other. Do I have that tip somewhat correct?
Yeah, it's open-ended. Okay. There's a couple little ways to interpret it, and I did that on purpose, where that's one way. The other way is I just can't trust the happy song, because ultimately a happy song, I listen to it, I get happy. I think, this is great. I was sad, now I'm happy. Mm. But it's not going to change your life for you, right? Now, the irony is a good song can change your life and your mood, right?
Yeah, right.
So there's all these mood, like little nuggets in many ways that it could be relatable to different people. And honestly, when I was thinking about it, it had different titles. I went through a bunch of ideas. But as I said, you know, no one's ever written a song saying that happy songs suck, you know, like, right. So that's kind of what I tried to do. I tried to really do like a 360 where people are like, wait, what's the song about? And then they listen to it, you know, so that's kind of what I tried to do.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
One last question, and it might be the hardest. We're wrapping up this interview, so I always ask this to my guests. Is there a artist, album, or song that you can tell me that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
I'm such an audiophile. I'm an 80s child.
Yes, that's the best.
But I mix modern pop rock. So yeah. When I look at 80s, oh my God, that's Journey, best, you know, music Survivor, ever,
yes.
Michael Jackson. I mean, these are, you know, Def Leppard. Those are probably like the four things that pop to my head. But almost anything 80s, I am drooling. I would love to listen to it. And then the modern stuff, I mean, Taylor, Ed Sheeran, you know, Justin Bieber is kind of missing now, but there's so many fantastic artists. And I'm humbled. There's nothing cooler than finding a song that fits you in the moment. And you're like, oh, I want to play this over and over and over. And that's why my mission is, you know, if you look at my website and everything, I want you to hit that replay button over and over. Then I know I've hooked you and I've touched you and that I've made a difference in your life.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thank you, Brett. Yeah, because that's awesome. Yeah, because many songs can reach you so emotionally you can't tell anybody how it makes you feel. And I got several songs, you know, that speak to me that I can't tell anybody about. So, yeah. But the 80s, man, 80s was, the business back in the day. I loved the 80s. A little bit in the 90s, you know, but 80s really got me, you know, to where I am today. So, yes, but thank you for that. Yeah,
I love the 80s. 80s
were great. I wish they would all come back, you know. The 80s vibe.
I'm trying to bring them back.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm trying to do, but I'm trying not to have these 40-second intros, you know. It's 80s, but with all the stuff that you got to do today, you got to change something every 4 to 8 bars. You got to... You know, that's exactly what I'm trying to do, my friend. So
Well, keep it up, brother. You know, it's gonna be good.
Thank you.
Good time for you.
Yeah.
So for anybody listening to this interview, you can go to Sorontos. You can visit his Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. You're on TikTok, right?
Yes.
I really don't understand TikTok. I'm still trying to find that. You know.
Yeah.
But Instagram, Instagram, I can do, but TikTok is it's wild ride for me. You know, so. And if you want to go on this radio show, can you tell them what email they can have again for it?
Yeah. So the easiest thing. So if you're not sure, you could just Google Sorontos, Sorontos Music, and all my socials will show up. My website will show up. My website is www.melogia.com. And on there, of course, you're going to find all my socials. You're going to find my email, which is info@melogia.com. But there's a lot of different ways to get a hold of me. Spotify, Apple Music, everything. YouTube, everything.
Yes, sir. Well, we greatly appreciate you coming on. And we honestly hope to God you come back whenever you want to. And
I'd love to.
You're going to do big things. I can see it in the future for you. You know, you just have it.
I think it takes
time. And a lot of patience, you know, being in the music industry, it's not, you won't get it right away, you know, it takes time and practice. And I'm sure Taylor Swift went through that too, you know.
But she worked her ass off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and she still does.
She deserves everything she's gotten. Yeah. I mean, people can be mad because, you know, maybe her dad, you know, they were a little wealthy and, but she's worked her ass off.
Yeah.
All these interviews, all these songs, she deserves 100% of what she gets. She got there because she worked her ass off. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And to go from country to where she is now, it's unbelievable. Yeah. So, we honestly thank you for coming on the show again, and I want you to come back anytime you want to. And
thank you.
Yeah. And for everybody listening, always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.